Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat. The old intro's back. Welcome to the show, everybody. We're going to be talking all about Destiny. There has been this interesting story about armor synthesis that a lot of people have opinions about. So we're going to talk about that. Guardian Games is here. It's been a while since the last episode, but joining me today is Travis.
McClunky.
Brian.
C-Team.
And the gentleman joining us today is D Flawless, who has been making me laugh consistently on Twitter. D Flawless, good to have you.
Guardians in.
That's right.
Nice.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't like changes.
See, he's been here for 5 seconds and he's already making changes to the show.
So D Flawless, you do a lot of Destiny content. Where do people find your stuff? And just tell us about yourself.
My name is D Flawless. I am a Destiny 2 family-friendly entertainer. I stream primarily on Twitch at D Flawless or D_Flawless. And then everywhere else, Twitter, what's the other thing? Instagram, TikTok, the D Flawless. Making memes about just the gaming community as a whole, but mostly Destiny. I like to pick on us Guardians. But other than that, I'm just, you know, having fun. I'm just a dude.
Well, thank you so much for making the time to be on the show today. You said we could show one of your TikToks, so I downloaded one and sent it to our producer, Marian. So if you're curious what kind of content D Flawless makes, he makes goofy, funny stuff like this. Marian, take it away.
Oh, hey, you might not want to go in there. They're a little upset.
Upset for what? Didn't we get them everything they wanted?
Well, we kind of did. I mean, they like the shader changes. But they're not too excited about the cap on the translog.
Boy, move!
You do want to wear over radar, man!
Now, what's this I hear about y'all being upset about some transmog? Oh, you sure like playing my free game, don't you? Now, if you want, I could take the cap off of everything, but the price of everything about to go up. I'm talking seasons, DLC, you like that little presage or presage mission, whatever you call it? And you, ain't you always crying about some anti-cheat? You think that's free, baby? And if you hit that bed one more time, boy, I'ma come over there. Child, I can't deal with y'all. About to make my pressure go up.
What is with the Apex jokes? Every video. We all know you're actually an Apex man. We all know it.
Not a main. I enjoy Apex, but more than enjoying Apex, I like messing with the people who left Destiny to play Apex, so it's an inside
joke. No one
leaves
Destiny. That's yeah.
They take breaks. That's what they tell themselves to help them feel better about themselves.
Especially the ones that make like a big announcement. Oh, hey guys, I'm leaving Destiny. I just can't, you know. And it's like, all right.
It's like those friends on Facebook who say, "I'm deleting my account. You can catch me on a cell phone." And then 2 months later, it's like, "Hey guys, I'm back."
Yeah. Yes. Well, D Flawless, it's great to have you here. And I just want to give you a shout out. I did a stream with D Flawless a few weeks back, and he's got an awesome community, does hilarious skits on his Twitch for Destiny fans. And he's just a funny, funny guy to hang out with. So
thank
recommend
you.
Everybody checking him out on Twitch.
So we got him for thank the show.
You. Yeah.
Yes.
Now you have to I'm be here. Hilarious the whole episode.
Yeah,
all
huge
right.
Expectations. Take it away.
We'll get into costume then.
No, for real though, your recent TikTok is really pointed because it's one of our main topics of conversation today. We're talking about armor synthesis, which was revealed in the most recent TWAB. And if you haven't seen, there is going to be a cap on it. It's going to introduce new currencies, which I know Travis is always a big fan about. And yeah, so Travis, why don't you give us the TLDR about how this is going to work and your take on it.
Yes. Okay. I will first try to explain how it works without getting angry, and then I'll give my opinion. So the way that that this is working is it is, well, I guess I can't be unbiased just at the outro or at the intro. I have to say it's probably the worst example of transmog we've seen in any game. It has a specific goal it's trying to accomplish, and it doesn't really succeed at any point of it. And so that's kind of a problem. So for the transmog system, in season 14 is my understanding when it's going to start, you're going to be killing things to earn, these things called synth.
I have it open. Synth strands.
Strands. Thank
and
you.
Then you spend
I
always forget synth the strands. Strands.
Come on, man. Doesn't
you spend synth strands on bounties, and the bounties give you synth
cord.
Core. And then once you complete those bounties, you earn synth weave.
Well, wait, you got to convert. You got to convert the synth cord at the loom in the tower into
in
synth
the loom
weave.
In the tower to synth weave. Thank yeah. you. And then, of course,
it sounds like we're memeing right now.
Yeah. And then, of course, you can buy a separate currency to skip this process that is called synth weave bundles. Or is it synth weave? Yeah, synth weave bundles and synth weave or something.
Let me, scroll down. I got the TWAB right here.
It's a whole separate
template.
Currency. It's actually. Templates. Yeah, thank you. It's Synthweave templates and then Synthweave template bundles, which allow you to bypass the product. So for those counting at home, that is five new currencies being added to Destiny, two of which are paid currencies and three of which you'll have to interact with for free. And then on top of that, once you actually do all of this malarkey to get your armor synthesis, you can convert a maximum of 10 pieces of armor per season, which is two full armor sets, or you can mix and match if you're a real psychopath.
Well, hold on. To celebrate the introduction of armor synthesis in Season of the Redacted, players may earn 10 additional synthweave per class throughout the introductory experience. In total, during Season of Redacted, players may earn up to 20 synthweave per class, which can either be used to convert four full sets to ornaments or 20 specific items.
Yeah, so that's the way they're rewarding us, because they're feeling nice, is that we get twice as many. But I'll just jump right into why I think this is terrible. First of all, it is so overcomplicated, dude. Like, this literally could have been one button, like, you know, press X to pay respects. It could have been like press X to convert to armor synthesis. And instead, they built this entire ecosystem around this. I was talking to a friend earlier today, and I said, you know that episode of Rick and Morty where it turns out that Rick is running his entire car, that his engine in his car, he built an entire civilization in it just to power it? That is like the levels of convolutedness that Bungie has implemented such a simple thing, such a thing that could have really easily just been one button. So that's the first problem, is that it's just so complicated. Then there's the fact that it's adding all these currencies. Our inventories are already overflowing. It's way too complicated that there's three different versions of this when they could have just made a way for us to earn synthweave. Then they're adding additional bounties, another thing we've constantly complained about. So it's like, hey, Bungie, you know what Destiny needs more of? More currencies, more bounties, more grinding of the same activities we're already doing. So that part's horrible. And then on top of that, it doesn't even accomplish the goal that we had, which is to make it so your armor doesn't matter. You know, any armor can be applied, any look can be applied to any armor, because now you're having to pick and choose which armor sets you actually want to move over, which effectively gives the same problem that we have. It's very similar to the collection system, where they set out to solve a problem, and because of limitations to the way they implemented it, we're not actually getting the solution we wanted. You know, collections are ruined because we can't reroll, we can't redraw random rolled weapons. And this is ruined because there's a limit on the amount of sets that we can do, unless, of course, you want to pay, which honestly, if they would have just made it a fully paid thing and not a way to earn it in game, I probably would be happier, honestly, because putting an artificial limit and introducing all these currencies and all the stuff, it's convoluted and it's kind of scummy. That like they can do it, like, hey, we created this whole huge way to do it, but we're going to cap the amount you can do it per season and ensure that you're going to pay. Because the other thing is, you because they introduce more than two armor sets per season, there's no way for you to actually have all the armor sets at any time without paying. It's basically putting a paywall behind completionists who want all the armor ornaments. You can't do it mathematically unless they stop introducing new armor. There's no way for as long as you want to grind that you're going to be able to have all your armor sets as ornaments. So that's like, that's just at the top of my head, all the ways that this is an awful idea. But I guess the headline for me is it could have been one button, Bungie. Like literally it could have been one button. This was so simple and you made it so complicated and I'm disgruntled. I'm a disgruntled employee.
So I agree with a few of your points, but I disagree in a few spots. So I agree that the cap is a little ridiculous. I agree that introducing that many new currencies was unnecessary. But I think the further we get away from this, we're going to pick our one or two armor sets that we really like, and then we're never going to think about this again. So like we're going to be able to have 20 individual pieces of gear, right, that we'll be able to convert. And it's pulled from your collection. So you don't need to hold on to your gear anyway. You can still dismantle it, especially if it's a bad stat roll, because it's pulled from your collections. It's not pulled from anything in your inventory. So that is good. Do I love what they've described as the process of having to defeat enemies, then convert it, and then da-da-da-da-da? No, I'm not a huge fan of that. But I think it could have been a lot worse. And I think this is reactionary because we see this grind coming a million miles away. And we're just kind of like, oh, that sounds like just annoying work more than anything. Yeah, I don't think it will be quite as annoying once we've converted the gear that we want. D Flawless, our guest, I'm going to go to you next. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. Travis has made his stance very clear. I'm playing the gray zone today. How do you feel?
Yeah, I understand. I'm going to be politically correct, but not on purpose, because yes, it's very, very, very convoluted. It could have been one button. The currencies, we have enough, all the things, basically everything Travis said, but I kind of understand why they at least capped it. Or to incentivize the monetization of it. So I'm not as upset as some people are about it. Would I love to see it uncapped? Yes. Would I love for it to not have all these steps? Yes. But at the same time, it's an addition to the game, right? It takes nothing away from us. It only adds to the game. So that's how I feel about it. It's fine. That's my official opinion.
How dare you? How dare you have a logical thought process that actually comes to a reasonable conclusion? Brian, I want to hear some hyperbole.
I hate it.
Come to the dark side. Come.
No, okay. Like I get other people's points, right? And having logical thought and thinking that the system is fine too, but people being upset at it is also a logical feeling you get, because we already have plenty of examples in other games of how transmog is done, and in a much better way. You take WoW for existence, or Diablo. These systems aren't nearly as convoluted or complicated or needlessly grindy. Transmog isn't supposed to be a gameplay loop. It's supposed to be a player driven choice based on the gameplay you've already invested into the game and the rewards you've already earned. It's Bungie saying, like, hey, you've earned these rewards. Basically, you got to go do it again to want to wear it permanently. And I don't agree with that, because it's like, I've already earned this. I want to wear it. However, I don't like the stats that it is, but I love this piece of armor. I want to wear it all the time. Them introducing a sort of grind to, you have to do that every time you get a piece of armor that you think is, just as beautiful and you want to wear all the time, is kind of just weird. And you've already said it, Flawless, like, right, it's the caps and all the thing. The entire system is designed to make you not want to do the grind. It's there on purpose. Bungie knows that. They didn't make this grind and go, the players are going to love this. They're going to grind it all out and they're going to do it. They did it with intention for you to spend the silver to buy it. And the caps is there even more to make the sense of urgency to buy it. So, the whole thing just screams like, free-to-play mechanic, right? That, this game is free to play. They need all these other monetization, outlets for them to continue running their day-to-day operations. So that's why they implemented it. Am I happy about it? No. Does it make sense? Yes. But that's my take on it. I do not like it, but I know why they did it.
I have to say, I think everybody on the panel has made some really, really good points about why it's important, why they don't like it, the ways that it could be adjusted. I think we've all sort of thought about this from a different angle, and I really appreciate everybody's perspective. Travis, you had one more thing you wanted to say.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and it's about the model, because I see people bringing that up a lot. They're like, hey, we need to support the game and create revenue, and like they have to pay the bill somehow, right? Which like I get and I sympathize with. The problem is that there are models... I synthesize with that. Yeah.
What you did there.
I hate you so much, Brian. Okay. So I understand that. But the problem is that Bungie is hitting us at all sides now. They're not a true free-to-play game. They have seasons that they charge us for. They have expansion packs that they charge us for. They have us pre-order the special editions. Then they have an Eververse store with a bunch of microtransactions for cosmetics. And then they have this. So if they're a true free-to-play game and they're like Apex or like Fortnite where you can just log in, or Warframe where you can log in and you can truly experience all the content for free, and they're going to a full freemium model, then okay, then this makes a lot of sense. But they haven't messaged that to us, and so right now they're saying, hey, we want you to pay for this premium game, and then we're just going to like load it up with all these microtransactions on top of that. And I think they just need to pick them, they need to pick a model, right? Like, I'm okay with Eververse and all that stuff because it doesn't affect gameplay, but then, you know, where does Bungie sit in the, where does Destiny sit in like the lexicon of like free to play versus premium games? And is it everything all at once? And it's just a very expensive game if you want like the full experience. And the other thing is, like, I agree with what you said, Destin, that it's probably not going to matter to most of us once we transmog our first, you know, four armor sets in this next season. But players who play later on are going to be way behind, and because of the cap, they can only do two per season. So they're not going to have any way to catch up without paying. And I also really feel sorry for the most dedicated fans like Teddy, who are going to want every set armor transmog just because they're completionists and they need to have everything in their inventory filled out. There's going to be people like that who have no choice but to pay because you can't catch up and have all of your armor sets synthesized. I have concerns like that feel to me like there needs to be some like give and take here, and I feel like there's a lot of take and not a lot of give lately. But overall, is it like something to cry about? Is it something to like say you're gonna quit Destiny forever? Like, absolutely not. I think that's just a bunch of people being crybabies. But I do think it's something that like the conversation's important, you know.
So for me, the only thing that I mainly take issue with is, yeah, they introduced new currencies. That's annoying. It sounds really, really grindy. It's four new sets. That's my main problem. So really, that's a set per character and then one additional set, right? So for me, if they just remove the cap, I have less complaints about this, just generally speaking. But the fact that there is a cap and then your only way is to pay after that, that's just weird to me. Like, let me spend 100 hours grinding up my armor sets. Like, you've established this is how we're going to do it. Okay, great. Remove the cap and I'm totally fine with it. Or at least increase the cap to more than one set per character. Now, if it was four sets per character per season, that's probably closer to something that I think fans would be thinking is more reasonable. But because it's basically one per class, that's a little bit like, to me. Some of the ways you can earn this stuff, Vanguard, you can do playlist strikes, nightfall strikes. That's how you get points. In Crucible, capture zones in control, complete Crucible matches and defeat opponents using specific damage types as a team. Gambit is send and defeat blockers in Gambit and then defeat primeval envoys, high value targets in primevals in Gambit. Destinations, defeat nightmares on any destinations or nightmare hunts, defeat bosses while defending the blind well within the Dreaming City. Okay, blind well.
So wait, these are all avenues to get what?
Well, developing this feature, an early goal was to ensure that players could earn synth weaves through numerous activities in Destiny 2. So you're going to be able to earn it all these ways, right? Well, and then raids and dungeons,
the bounties.
Complete the final encounter of any raid or dungeon, generate orbs of power in raids or dungeons. And this is for synth weave. This is the third step. Let me make sure I'm getting it right.
This is the bounty step.
Yeah, the bounty step, basically. So yeah. Convert synth chord at the loom in the tower in the synth weave. Use synth weave to convert an unlocked armor appearance. So this is the currency that you will use to actually do the conversion once you're on that step.
It's a currency you use to get another currency, just to be clear.
At least eliminate the first one. At the very least, eliminate the first currency and just start by paying Glimmer for the bounties. And then
one last question for the panel. Do you know the sets, or do you have one set in mind that you're going to convert? Just a simple yes or no. Flawless, you've been pretty quiet because you don't have a lot to say for this topic.
I don't even have a set in mind. I'll just tinker around with it when it comes.
Yeah. So you're pretty apathetic to the whole like changing your look. Like maybe you have a set or two that you want.
Not even. Like I love my guardian has named her name Risa, and and I take fashion very seriously, but I just don't think this is a big deal. I'll figure it out when it drops.
Yeah. That's a good philosophy to have, just generally speaking.
Hey, if your guardian can be beautiful without all these problems, then more power to you.
Actually, that is my end game. Is probably why I'm so apathetic towards it. Is that I plan on having the best looking guardian without transmog, and it's going to be hashtag no transmog, by the way. And you know, it's going to be a weird flex.
Brian, extremely weird. Do you have a set in mind that you're going to go with?
Not a full set. I know that I want the Braytech researcher's robes from Warmind, but I think it said somewhere in the TWAB that the year one stuff isn't going to be available at launch. So that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a technical limitation they brought up in the TWAB that they're going to have.
I'm not going to be upset about it. Cause if it's a technical limitation, then it's a technical limitation, right? Bungie's not like, oh, you know what? We're just going to exclude year one because screw them. Because Brian wanted it. Yeah. That was the first set that I wanted, but you know, I'll have to take a look to see what else, you know, I've gotten over the years that I want to transmog, but Braytech Researcher's Robes from Warmind is what I really wanted the most.
Travis, do you know what you want?
Yeah, my favorite armor set in Destiny 2 right now is the Titan Year 1 Iron Banner set that makes you look like a samurai. And unfortunately, that is on the list of things you cannot turn into an ornament. But the caveat there is that you can still use it as an ornament if the armor set you're applying it to is from the same event. So if I get the next set of Iron Banner armor, I can apply the year one samurai set to it. I guess the sad part is that I can already do that, and in fact already do it to my current armor set. So it's not really giving me anything new, but I hope down the line they fix that. Obviously, I have all of the Trials of Osiris armor sets, so I'll probably be applying those and even the Trials of the 9-1 if they make that compatible down the road. But the main thing is that it'll be nice to be able to focus on the stats rather than go, okay, the stats are good, but the armor set is bad, so I'm just going to throw it out. Because I've had that situation before, and that is a hard pill to swallow, my friend. Like when you find a armor set and you're like, oh, it's such good stats, but I just hate the way it looks. And then you shard it, or at least I do, because yeah, I typically don't care what my guardian looks like, but occasionally you get a piece that's just so fugly, it has to go. And and I've definitely been there before. So yeah, I hope they figure out the technical limitations, but if they don't, I'll probably just rely on Trials of Osiris and some of the cooler armor sets. Rarer, I want to use my rarest sets, which probably is like my Trials of the 9 set, maybe the flawless Trials of the 9 armor. But yeah, we'll see.
That wasn't on the list, was it?
So isn't like the real question is, do people have three sets that they really want? Because isn't that the whole point of the controversy is that people don't want to be capped? Like who has more than three sets in mind?
I'm sure there's people out there. I'm Paul sure like Tassi. Teddy does. Paul Tassi does.
Paul Tassi is salty. He is salty on Twitter. I love it.
I'm looking at my sets right now, and I'm like, on Titans, I want that Tor bottle celebration mask, the cat helmet a lot of people refer to it as. Yep. On my Hunter, I want the Moonfang X7 mask. And then beyond that, like, okay, there's still 18 other pieces that I need to look at. And I already have like a set that I love that I use ornamentation for on my Hunter, Arms of Optimacy. I have Neoteric Kiot vest, you know, basically my Hunter looks like Batman and I love it. And then my Titan is already rocking the fantastic And I bought it with Bright Dust, Celestial Helm this season, the horns that came out this season. So Bungie already has a lot of really, really great stuff that they're allowing ornamentation for. And I think that's why I'm less upset about it. Like, the grindiness and the annoyingness, I absolutely see where you're coming from with that. I don't really understand the cap, especially because, like, look, if people want to grind it out, let them grind it out. I don't understand the reasoning there. If it is truly to drive monetization, I don't think you're targeting the right type of player, right? So, yeah, that's just my two cents on it. But we have other topics to get to. Let's go over to Guardian Games. Guardian Games are back. We have the Heir Apparent Catalyst. D Flawless, did you get your Heir Apparent Catalyst yet?
I have not.
I'm working on it too. Yet.
I'm working on it.
Same. Yeah. Did you miss that Strike playlist, Grindfest?
Oh, it's Crucible today. I've played around with it a few times. I'm mostly a Crucible gamer, but I'll probably, after the show, hop on and get some grinding done. I'll spend some time in Strikes.
Yeah, well, it's Crucible today for Double Laurels or whatever it's called. But just generally speaking, have you been playing Guardian Games? What's your reaction to Guardian Games? Do you like it?
I like the idea of Guardian Games. I don't like what it brings out of the community. You know, hunters are objectively the best class. So I don't even know why it's a topic.
Mariah, but, can you actually throw up the graphic that I sent over? I just wanted to help D Flawless make his point. Do you have it handy? Oh, Guardian Games hunters win.
Goodness.
Look at that. That's so interesting.
Yes. Flawless, everyone, you're right. Can just stop turning in tokens or whatever the thing is. I don't even know. I just go wherever there's a shiny button. That's how I play Destiny. I've enjoyed it. It's fun. I like having things to do. I like the idea of competition, and I do want the gun because apparently it's very overpowered.
It's,
I don't know if we're gonna talk about that.
Lee, airplane. Nice. No, sorry.
Yeah, I got the joke.
That's okay.
You stick to jokes. I'll stick to hosting.
Would have been better if you did it in costume, though.
So you're sort of so-so on Guardian Games. You like the idea, but
that's the way I am with most of the seasonal events or the you know, whatever the events are that they do. I'm just kind of, I'll check it out, and you know, it's got to have something really drawn. I'm only doing it to get the Heir Apparent. And after that I'll dip, because I bought the set with the Bright Dust that I had stockpiled, so I have that armor set. I'll maybe try to get the tennis ball ghost. I don't even know if that's something you can grind for, but from there it's just, you know, okay, I'll continue playing Crucible.
D, I forgot about the tennis ball ghost. I want the tennis ball ghost so bad. Yeah. It better be available for Bright Dust.
Sure will be.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, it will be down the line. I'm in the same boat as you. I haven't gotten their apparent quest yet. You have to, like, it took me a while to figure out how to unlock it, because it's not, like, clearly. I had to ask Teddy. I'm like, Teddy, like, I did the
I also quest. Asked Teddy. That's funny.
Yeah, like,
I need to get Teddy's number. I got a lot of questions for Teddy.
Basically, you got to do one of the platinum challenges, which costs 200 laurels?
Yes, 200 laurels. And then they're super easy close. Because you can do the Nightfall challenge on the adept difficulty, which is like 1230 power, so you can just literally solo queue and it'll match you with people, and then you just blow through it. It takes, like, literally as soon as Teddy told me how to get it, I like logged in and I did it in like 4 minutes, and then was just like, all right, cool, now I got the
survival.
Yeah,
sorry, dang, buddy, Teddy. You gotta get on Nightfall. You have to do one of the platinum bounties, so Nightfall or Trials. If you're feeling like you want to do Trials today, you can do that. But honestly, the Nightfall one is so freaking easy. I would just do that.
The Trials one allows you to do it in either Trials or Survival. So I was I was doing that, doing the Survival thing.
You're doing the hardest way you possibly can, my friend.
Oh, geez.
You know, I'm a real gamer.
Yeah. Oh, I see how it is.
Crucible mains. Although he plays a hunter, I can't side with him that much.
Yeah. Travis,
yeah,
Guardian Games. You were just telling me earlier about how much you love everything about Destiny, and
I hate to be the pessimist here, because I know I'm usually like the optimist.
Two for two.
Yeah.
Bringing balance to the force.
Yeah, I know. I'm usually the optimist here, but like, I have not really been enjoying Guardian games. And it's just because it seems like a lot of Destiny so far, or like in, you know, recently, especially with the seasonal events, has been like, hey, go do the three things that are in Destiny: Crucible, Strikes, and Gambit, and just do those a whole lot. And that's the activity. You know, we can do those normally. And I think my main problem is that there's not anything new. There's not a new map. You know, in the past, they would add something a little quirky, like Festival of the Lost. You'd have to do interesting challenges, like the time you had to dress like Atheon and jump off a cliff or whatever, you know. And they used to do stuff like that. And now it just feels like it's just, hey, the stuff you're already doing, here's another incentive to continue to do it. Now go out there and keep doing it. Which I don't think is super great. Now, there's the Strike playlist where you can play with only your class. I think that's kind of interesting. I don't think it goes far enough because I never even notice which other classes I'm playing with when I do a strike. You know, I'm just beelining toward the boss. So that's kind of a problem.
Well, you're that guy.
Yeah, I'm that guy. Well, yeah, I mean, isn't that what everyone does? We all just are trying to get to the end to get the boss kill, right? But what I would have liked is if they did something like maybe a new Crucible match type where it's 3v3, or sorry, it's three teams, right? And it's Warlocks versus Hunters versus Titans, a new Crucible mode that maybe would be easy to add where it's 3v3v3, something like that. I think that could have had a lot of potential, or a game mode that kind of spoke more directly to Guardian games, because right now there's not really any way we're directly competing against each other. You have the strikes where you're playing with your teammates, but it's not like you're seeing the Hunters and the Warlocks out there competing against you. And the depositing of medals is super passive, and there's no activity that's actually making us go head to head. And I think that would have been really cool to add. You know, and then there's obviously the question of like, is it even really a competition? Obviously they changed the rules, so it gives, I think, Warlocks and Hunters like an advantage because Titans won last year. And I won't complain about that. Like, obviously it shouldn't be a shutout every year for Titans, and Titans don't complain anyway about the stuff. Like, I still think we're going to pull it out and win. But it's sort of like, if every year it's just going to be a shutout for whichever team didn't win last year, I don't think that's a great solution either. So I would like there to be more like transparency into what's actually going on, because I think that's what will get people competing. You know, the Warlocks will be out there and they'll get their notepads and start to calculate, you know, what to do to win. And Titans will just continue to eat crayons to victory and hunt, you know, that sort of stuff. So I just think it needs some work, and it sort of is kind of lackluster. The cosmetics at Eververse are cool, but other than that, it's sort of just, hey, do strikes and Crucible like you've been doing all season. So,
yeah, you know, you bring up a really good point, and I want to throw it to Brian here to get his response. Brian, what do you think about the head-to-head aspect? Would you have liked to see more direct competition between the classes, or do you have a different perspective on Guardian
games? Yes. So that's my thing with Guardian games, right? The whole competitive like nature and aesthetic and everything feels kind of artificial, and I'll get into some other of my opinions about the whole thing later. But yeah, like I think Guardian game, it would probably help me get into the spirit a little better if there was genuinely some sort of actual competition rather than just banners going up and down. So in that regard, it makes me feel like the whole thing is kind of lame in a way, where like, you know, people getting into the spirit and you know, ragging on each other's classes. I'm just like, this is kind of, I hate the word, but cringy. You know, it's just like, I just don't care. I don't care about any of that. So it's like, you know, if there were some sort of actual competition that puts us head to head with the other classes, then sure, that'd be great. That would make me feel a little more and, you know, incentivize me to actually engage in Guardian games, which I haven't really since it launched. So I'll do it eventually so I can get the Heir Apparent Catalyst, because that's important. But yeah, in terms of how I feel about other things, you know, Travis was bringing up a good point where he was talking about you know, go do more strikes in Crucible and Gambit. And yes, it's making us do those a lot more, but it brings out that problem where, you know, that we've talked about 1,000 times, where it's like Bungie keeps on putting these emphasis on these pillar activities like Crucible Gambit and Strikes, and not adding to them. You know, these playlists feel stale. There's not a whole lot going on for them. They don't give us new maps. They don't give us, you know, all these things. And it even brought out a problem where doing the strikes made me miss heroic strikes from Destiny 1 with all the modifiers, you know, because it had things like small arms or special arms and things like, you know. And I kind of just hope they either go back to that sort of stuff. So I don't know. Guardian Games just feels very, I don't know, it's just not there for me. It doesn't make me want to participate in any kind of way. So it'll probably remain that way through the end of the season.
That's the other thing. I don't know. I don't think we've even talked about this, but there are unique modifiers in the strike playlist for classes, like Titans get their melee back and that sort of thing. But the strikes are at 1100 power. So like you're so overpowered and you breathe on enemies and they die. And so
it's like that with a normal strike playlist.
It's like lower than, yeah, it sort of is like, okay, but why are there modifiers if like it's not even really a challenge either?
Yeah, that's why that's why I brought it up. I was like, this makes me miss heroic strike playlists, and we have different modifiers. Sometimes there was, you know, I think it was like once a month we had mayhem strikes and things like that, and it's just like it's doing more to bring out the problems with the game than it is like making me want to play the activity. So yeah, that itself isn't a problem. But then the cosmetics. I feel
like there needs to be a head-to-head playlist. Like, imagine like a 3v3v3, like whatever. I can't think of the name. Remember the one you kill the guardian, you pick up the crest? Like, that's perfect. Oh, like, 3v3, yeah, yeah. That, and then the team with the most crests wins.
Supremacy.
What was it? Supremacy. Yeah. That's like got Guardian Games written all over it. 3v3v3, boom. Best team gets a added bunch of laurels or whatever you want to give them. Problem solved. Send the check, Bungie.
Well, say whoever picks up the most laurels. If you kill an enemy, whoever picks up the most laurels wins all of the laurels for their class. I don't know.
Yeah, but, they could have made some like cool game mode. Yeah, there's so many different ways that I think they could have made us compete more directly, or at least give some transparency into what's happening behind the scenes that I think would have made people more invested, because now I think everyone is going to do you know, get the heir apparent and maybe complete the triumphs, and then it's going to be dead by the end of the contest.
Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, we've spent a lot of time in the season already, and I think like the terminology of like it being dead, it's dead for us because we've done everything already, but they have an incredibly healthy community, and the fact that they've gotten probably everybody on this panel to sign on again to spend another 10 hours, okay, an hour, let's say on the low end, an hour in their game. That's all they want. They want you constantly getting that hit of, hey, remember Destiny? We're still cool. Even if it's a grindy quest that you're not having fun with, you hop on, you play the game again. Maybe you remember you play PvP, and maybe you put in another extra hour, or maybe you spend $1 at the store, right? I think that's their goal with this event. But I do agree with your point that I would absolutely love to see them say, hey, look, this year is going to be a little bit different, and we are working to improve it for the next one, because there are events that they've actually retired and said, we're not going to be doing that this year because they don't feel like it's improved enough. And if we're giving them the feedback that, hey, this isn't quite what we wanted, there could be a potential we don't have a Guardian Games next year, which regardless of how we feel about it, maybe they'll be able to go back to the drawing board and create something a little bit more exciting, so to speak.
Yeah,
I would love that.
Yeah. Just don't make any more water bottle ghosts. Weird.
What liquid is in there? Are we sure it's water?
It's vodka. I don't even know what it's vodka. They
water
drink
bottle
it.
Ghost?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's a water bottle ghost. Yeah.
It's real weird.
How have
it's
I not seen this? Games. Okay.
Yeah, it's got I think it has like a little chain, like a little like a carabiner on it too to hook it to your belt. I mean, you don't actually see it hooked to your belt, but yeah, I don't know, man. It's like when Pokemon started running out of when they Pokemon Company started running out of ideas for Pokemon, so they made a chandelier,
and the keychain one,
and a keychain, Klefki or Trubbish, which is literally just a bag of rubbish. Like what? Okay, we don't need to talk about Pokemon.
Don't we?
That's what it feels.
Don't we though?
Okay, all right, fine.
Welcome Pokemon to Pokemon Chat.
Yeah.
Thanks for veering off into Pokemon, Brian. That's very helpful for keeping the show.
Hey, he makes a good point. He makes a good point.
How I feel about those cosmetics, and that it reminded me that like they're literally just making inanimate objects and anthropomorphizing them by just putting eyeballs on water bottles.
Hey, if we get more tennis balls, one eyeball. Keep getting wacky. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah.
Travis, you had a note here about the weapon balance changes. We all got COVID shots, so we were like recuperating, which is why we had a little bit longer of a gap than normal. But why don't you take us through that, and then just tell us your thoughts.
Yeah, so I got a list here. The first thing that I think a lot of people are going to notice is the 120 RPM hand cannons are getting a nerf, which probably long overdue. They sort of have been really dominant, especially in comp. So I don't know if anybody has any comments or thoughts about that. I know a lot of people, maybe even on this podcast, have invested a lot of time in getting a god roll for that specific type of hand cannon. So
that's how it affects PvE for me. Like we don't have enough weapons that. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you too much, but I'm just going to make my one piece.
Is no, that, yeah, please do.
Is that we don't have enough weapons that can like one shot red bars, you know, and that's where 120s feel like right now. It's, you know, when you shoot a Vandal in a head and it has like 98% of its health taken away by a 140, you're like, that feels stupid. You know, it's like, what is the point? You know? So it's that type of thing where, you know, if I don't think they're really actually nerfing the damage completely, you know, so if you're in a PvE activity, you know, you still have a chance of doing that, but I'm hoping that when they bring up the buffs that we see something that'll be comparable to it.
Go ahead.
The one that I take more issue with is they're targeting swords again. And I think I posted this on Twitter. They're failing to recognize that swords are liked because A, they're probably the coolest thing you can have equipped. B, they're a traversal mechanic. And C, they do really, really good damage. This is the third time they've nerfed swords. Swords, I can't imagine a world where swords just go away. They're just too cool of a weapon. They have projectile blades that can spin in an arc fashion. You can spin it to win with Falling Guillotine. The Lament is, you know, really, really cool. And I'm a little surprised that they're targeting these weapons so thoroughly, as opposed to like they brought up rocket launchers and we saw increased rocket launcher use because rocket launchers were basically useless for so long. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice to, you know, pop on a really, really good rocket launcher and just decimate a boss or use the new time payload detonations. That's really, really cool. To me, design-wise, that is a smarter way to get us to stop using swords as opposed to just like seeing the data that people are using Falling Guillotine. Falling Guillotine is cool. Lament is cool. Yep. It like charges up and then does cool stuff. And your other weapons aren't selling that fantasy. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. Do you guys remember the time in Destiny 2 when swords were in the game, but they were used less than rocket launchers were? And it feels like they want to go back to that in a way by just like constantly hitting it. And it's like they hit it on the mark this season when rocket launchers got a big buff, and it's like cool. I use swords way less this season than I have in the past.
Me too.
Since Falling Guillotine came out in Arrivals, and you know that feels good. There's like right now it feels like there's a balance between what I want to use in my heavy slot. You know, whether it be a grenade launcher, you know, when I'm damaging a boss from afar and I want just like constant hits, or I'm using a rocket launcher like Justin said with Lasting Impression, or using a sword for that boss that's just really close. And I think Bungie just sometimes gets it too into their head when they're afraid, when people just like to get close to a boss because they have that PTSD of the Itello shotgun, when we were just punching, you know, things and just melting them with that. And it's just like, it's like, you just let us have our fun right now. You know, it's like, I don't want swords to get to a point where I just vault them. Anytime I get them, I'm like, oh, I got a good roll, but, oh, what does it matter? Swords suck again because Bungie keeps nerfing them.
And swords cancel out a mechanic none of us really like, and that's a stomp mechanic. Yeah. You know, yeah. And that's another reason. Like, there's so many advantageous reasons. Like, look, if Fallen Guillotine and Lament aren't the most powerful sword, I'm still probably going to have a sword equipped 50% of the time. But if I'm going for maximum DPS this season, I also have that rocket launcher in my back pocket, and I'll swap back and forth between them. And they are in a really, really good spot. I would like to see more weapons that can compete on that level. Flawless, what's the best sword and why?
The best sword is Lament. It's just so good. It's cool. It's got a cool design. It sounds cool. You know, you melt bosses with it, but I kind of agree. I think Bungie, they kind of turn the knob too wildly in one direction or the next, which leads to one thing always being really high. And the thing that you used to love is now down here. And then it's like, why can't you just bring them both up? Yeah.
Well, I got to throw another question your way, too, because you made a joke post about this that really made me laugh. Quick Draw is getting nerfed to its handling modifier, and Felwinter and Astral Horizon are getting Quick Draw replaced with Surplus. So how do you feel about that?
I agree with Bungie's philosophy on it. The most frustrating thing for me, outside of getting frozen, is to like be winning a gunfight, and then someone just pulls out a Felwinter at this ungodly range and just snipes you with it. I don't think you should be able to do that with a shotgun. So I'm all here for it. And then as far as the blanket quick draw nerf, you know, it does what the perk says now. It just draws quickly. Like, Bungie never wanted us to get 100 handling from quick draw. Yeah. So people are just whining. It was like, it literally does what the perk says now. Why are we getting upset about
it? It's a crutch. People are using it as a crutch rather than you know, leaning on it as a skill mechanic. So yeah, I know, I get it. That doesn't affect. Does that affect every current Felwinters and Astral Horizon, or is that like?
Yes. Well, they're taking it off. They're
okay. So they're removing every existing one. Every existing.
Mm-hmm. I forgot what they're replacing it with, but
they're replacing it with Surplus.
Surplus, which is a great perk.
Yeah, it
is. It's a great perk.
Yeah.
We haven't seen something like since Shot Package was taken out of the game.
And then Travis, how do you feel about the last one we haven't really talked about? And feel free to comment on the shotguns, of course.
The last one's chip damage?
Bastion, yeah.
So they're the last one, for those who don't know, is they're removing chip damage from weapons that chip, basically they do damage without affecting your shield. Swords do it and Bastion does it, and I don't think it was ever intended, and so they're removing it, which I think is good, because you know, you can get killed by Bastion pretty easy, maybe easier than you should be given its range. So I think that'll be good, and I don't think it'll have that big of an impact on those users, to be honest. As for quick draw, I think, like, I'm a Felwinter power user, and I'm, you know, like, obviously, like, I use it because you have to. Like, if you use shotguns and you're not using Felwinters or Astral Horizon, you're just not competitive, right? But do I think that this is going to greatly impact my play style or anything? No. Will I still use Felwinters and Astral Horizon for my shotguns primarily? Until something else comes out, probably, yeah. And I don't think I need quick draw to be competitive, because the other stats on Felwinters are really good. And yeah, D-Flawless is right. Like, quick draw was broken. Like, it gave a stat that it wasn't supposed to give to everyone that used it. And I think people started to rely on that. And if one perk is better than all the others, then all the other perks don't matter. So you have to create an economy where, you know, different play styles and personal preference determine what roles you like, and not, hey, there's just one meta and that's the only one that you go for. So even though I'm a Crucible main who uses Felwinters, I'm actually behind both of these, and I think they make sense, and, you know, good Crucible players adapt. So that's the name of the game, and I'm ready to do it.
I think it also, what it does is it passively buffs some other weapons like sidearms, which you don't see a whole bunch of, like sidearms, fusion rifles, things like that, stuff that I love to use. And, you know, that, you know, those are the weapons that I'm using when I get sniped by a Felwinter. And I'm like, oh, well, come on, man. If you didn't have quick draw, I would have melted you with this sidearm. But, you know, you got out of jail free that time. so I like it.
Yeah.
We're coming up on time, but there is one last segment. And D-Flawless, I want to invite you to join us. Travis created this segment that the community really, really likes. It's called Bungie Please. And Travis, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're supposed to pick a minor thing that we would love to see changed in the game.
Yeah, I think our it can really be anything, but the preference is that you be as like petty as possible and like choose something that's very small that just bothers you.
Yeah. So why don't you have one this week, Travis? Why don't you start, and then Deflaws, I'll invite you to try one if you'd like to. Otherwise, you can just pass.
Go for it, Travis. Yeah. So I had one this week, which was honestly just like stop overcomplicating things because of all the currencies and that sort of stuff. And I honestly think that's a bigger problem with Destiny. I'm going to go for something smaller this week that is extremely petty, which is I think we should have a way to decrypt all of our engrams from one place rather than having to run around and go to the war room or whatever it is that we're going to, to decrypt it. I think it should be one spot. And I also like, just give us a way to decrypt when we're on the drifter side of the tower. Cause I really hate that long walk back and forth from across that. And I just think like I should be able to do most of the stuff on one side and don't make me walk for it. Bungie, come on. Do you really need that extra player time that
I'll make a video just for you, Travis.
Thanks, man. That's my Bungie. That's my Bungie. Please, Bungie, please make it so I don't have to walk around the tower so much, please.
Do you got one?
Bungie, please give Hunter's blink back. Why did you take it away? Why? What? How does it hurt us? How does it hurt the game, the economy? Like, what? Why can't I blink? I did it for however many years in D1. That's, I'll die on that hill.
I love it. If it was in an exotic, would you switch out whatever exotic you're using for that?
Yes, but I just want it. Give it to me. Just don't give me any special fancy dippity doo dah, and don't anybody in the comments or whatever talk about Backris. It's not the same. I want to blink.
Yeah, well, like, Backris kind of does that, but okay. You want proper blink. Yeah, where is the? Oh yeah, I guess they sort of have an arc subclass. Anyway, I'm thinking about the Blade Dancer days. Anyway. Brian, do you have a Bungie, please?
Yeah, Bungie, please keep Blink a Warlock exclusive.
No! Hunters, damn!
Just kidding. I'm kidding. No. Mine's a little bit bigger. Bungie, please put Transmog back in the oven and release it when it's fully ready, because you know it's going to go through iterations throughout this year until, you know, they meet us halfway and we're comfortable with it. And when all the year one stuff that can't make it into Transmog at launch can make it in. Just, there's no rush on it. Just bring it out when it's actually ready. We don't need it next season. That's not going to happen, but please.
I don't have a Bungie, please. I think that, I mean, yeah, I have criticisms about some of their decisions, and I would have liked to see fewer grindy stuff, but I think they've really, really been doing a good job of siphoning through community feedback and implementing the best bits of it lately. And I'm really, really excited to see what they end up doing with multiplayer over the next few seasons. Granted, it's still like not in a great place now, but it is nice to hear that they're like, yes, we're working on multiplayer. We hear you on this thing. We hear you on this thing. And they've been implementing changes. And so Bungie, please keep communicating. That's my Bungie, please. I'm going to do a nice one this episode. And with that, we come near the conclusion. I want to thank my panelists, Travis and Brian and D-Flawless. D-Flawless, please continue your content. I love your TikToks. And where would you direct people if they want to just see everything that you do?
If you want to see, I'm all over the place. I would really love for people to come to the Twitch channel. We have just as much fun on TikTok and Twitter as we do in the Twitch. Travis can attest to that. We do karaoke. We do, we have fun skits and different things. We have interruptions from my flawless family live in the stream. I'm going to sound very conceited by saying this. It's what I believe to be one of the most unique experiences on Twitch. See for yourself. Come in, twitch.tv/dflawless. But other than that, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, the dflawless, you can find me there.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Have you seen the show before? Do you know how we do the outro?
Oh, have I?
Oh, yeah. So we're going to say until next time.
That's a lie.
I've been waiting for this. I've been training.
until next time. And then you guys just go, okay? And I'll catch you, because there's a little bit of a delay. But anyway, thank you so much for watching the show. That's it for this episode. And until next time, everybody,
Guardians out.
Nailed it.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.